If one of the two partners dies, the other partner gets it 100%.
Yeah.
And then they can do with it whatever they want. And I'm like, oh, there it is.
Well, wait, and Randy even says, when I read that, it was a gut punch. It felt like Jerry signed his death warrant when he signed that piece of
paper.
And
he effectively did. But yeah, you don't think about that going in 7 years from now.
Well, no one ever thinks they're going to get murdered.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Gay, 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 gay.
We're getting our Wonder Woman platform boots on and we're going dancing.
That is the best way you could possibly say it. What are we talking about today?
We are talking about, welcome to our bonus episode. This is our 12th of the year. Yep. We're back with our friend Faith Jenkins with the show Killer Relationship. Friend being, we covered this before and really liked her.
Well, I had drinks with her last night. We were waiting for you at the bar the entire, we're like, where's our friend Jillian Pozzovalli?
Oh my God. You know what? That could absolutely happen one day. Season 4, episode 2. This is called Risky Business. This is on Peacock, Hulu, and Oxygen.
Jerry was such a nice man, such a good person, good-hearted, never would hurt a soul.
He wanted his own business, something to make money.
Jerry was gay. He was always searching for love, and it just didn't happen.
A vicious murder.
32 times he was stabbed.
This is personal, some sort of personal rage.
Was it someone Jerry just met?
He was on multiple dating apps.
Jerry was looking for a new roommate. Could this be somebody he brought home?
A prison pen pal?
We have an inmate who has a criminal record that's been released. Did he come over to Jerry's house?
Or perhaps an old friend?
Our victim here is a guy named Jerry Moore. He was 46 years old. And people, I have never heard this expression before, but now I've heard it so much in the last month. Never met a stranger.
Oh, you've never heard that? That's a very nice thing.
Then I heard it, and now it's like in every single thing. Now it's everywhere.
He's very kind, gregarious. He has two cute dogs in an old photo.
Yes, he's a knack for putting people at ease.
Yeah, and I thought that was such a wonderful compliment from Faith Jenkins, saying he has a knack for putting people at ease. What a lovely thing to be said about you.
I wonder if people would say that about me. What would they say? He's got a knack for... What do I have a knack for, girl?
No, I think you would people at ease, but still high energy at the same time.
I think there's
when people say putting people at ease, I think there's this image of like, you kind of speak like a yoga teacher. And I think you can put people at ease and be very welcoming and outgoing to them without doing the yoga instructor voice.
There are definitely people that think they're going to like me. And it's not that they don't like me, but I can tell right away when I'm just too much for somebody.
Sure.
It happens.
Well, that's called reading the room and knowing your audience.
Correct.
And a lot of people don't know how to do that.
I know. Not this guy. Well, look, it's January 27th, 2014. We're going to Marietta, Georgia. Seems like a beautiful little gay town.
Yeah, well, poor Pam.
I know.
Calls 911 about her neighbor, Jerry, and she's so scared and she's so worried. You could hear it in her voice.
It's one of those things where we've heard so many fake 911 calls over the years that when you're hearing somebody really suffering, like they're learning in real time what's happening. Like she says, it looks like her friend's house has been robbed. There's blood everywhere. I when we do eventually see this murder scene, I like this poor woman who, by the way, loved this guy so much.
Yes.
Walking into this scene must have been like, it's a thing you never get over.
Yeah, she says, "Oh God, please hurry." You can just tell. Like I guess when we've heard so many shitty ones, you just know when it's real and when it's not.
Well, the whole thing that people forget about 911 calls is that the second it starts to ring, it's recording.
Yeah.
So when the people aren't doing anything and then the operator answers and then you're screaming, we got your fucking number. You're going to jail.
It's one of those things I kind of want to gatekeep because I want people to get caught lying. You know, if they're being shitty and whatever. But yeah, that's a thing, everybody.
Yeah. So investigator Edward is here. He says,
as soon as I walk into the living room, I see blood everywhere. As I stepped further and looked over the edge of the couch, that's when I observed the victim lying face down in a pool of blood.
Jerry is laying face down in a pool of blood. He's got stab wounds on his back. And when they lift up his shirt, he's got like stab wounds all over his body. And like Edward is like, this poor man suffered.
Yeah, we see way too many photos. There's not enough blurring. Faith Jenkins, I really enjoy you. Like, thank you for the good work. But the producers and editors of this, we see way too much.
There's more blood in this crime scene than I've ever seen.
It's really bad.
It's really, really
bad.
And
we don't need to see as much to understand that.
No.
You know, this is not like being victim focused. This is too much.
Yeah. So we are told this was a crime of rage. The guy, whoever did this, was really angry. There was no forced entry. So Jerry had to have let whoever did this into the house.
Right. So let's go back to June 3rd, 1967. Jerry.
It's a boy.
Jerry is born in Ohio. He's a Gemini. Judy is his stepmother.
And she's here. And I just, I just, just love this. Whenever we are dealing with a gay person of like about my age and we go back to their origin story, I'm like, how bad was it?
The '60s in Ohio.
Yeah. So, you know, she tells us he was super outgoing and happy, would do anything for anybody. At 2 years old, his parents split up and his mom had primary custody, but he would spend weekends and holidays with Judy and his dad. And Judy was like, we were the best of friends. And like, when you're like a little gay boy, that can go the other way easily.
I mean, Jerry called her mom. Yeah. They were besties. They really loved each other. And they were, his family, thank God, was incredibly supportive of him coming out. They always accepted him, loved him.
Or at least Judy did. Like, we never hear about the dad. We never really hear anything else about the mom.
Yeah.
We see pictures of the dad and I'm like, look, not to judge a book by its cover, but
don't
like
that
could have gone. I would like to hear that the dad was like, you're still my son.
I'm going to focus on Judy.
Okay. You're still my son.
Oh.
He had a knack for business. Jerry did.
He was super smart, very responsible with money. He was a big saver and his goal from very young is to start his own business.
Yes. He came out in his 20s. Judy loved and supported him.
Despite the love and support from his family, Jerry finds life in Orrville, Ohio, stifling. With a population of just under 9,000, the small town just isn't big enough for the life Jerry wants. So, at age 29, he moves to Atlanta, Georgia.
At 29 years old, Jerry moves to Atlanta, Georgia, and Randy Doolittle is here.
Love him.
The name fits him so much.
Totally.
Like, when I saw Fiona on the Ollie's Angels website and her name was already Fiona, I was like, that is such a Fiona.
Totally.
She's such a little Fiona, and she is. He is such a Randy Doolittle with he love is. In my heart, I say.
But he also tells us that Atlanta is the gay Mecca of the East. Never heard that before.
Okay, look, I don't like pitting cities against each other, hence my stance on pizza. I'm not participating in that conversation, like especially when it's something awesome, like pizza or being gay. But I feel like I'm not going to pit cities against each other, but I do feel like there are other locations that would say, hold on a second.
Like New York, Provincetown, Miami. Like, I'm not calling Atlanta a small town at all. I'm not calling it a small city. But
be careful.
I know, Atlanta, Lord knows I love you. But like, I love knowing that there are cities that I, as a gay human being, would never think that Atlanta would be homophobic, but I don't think of it as like a gay destination. And I love knowing that I'm wrong, is all I'm saying.
I love that too. But to say the and not A, was a choice, Randy. And I love you, girl.
Girl, Drip Drop is back. It has been a hot summer, girl. I have been definitely needing the help with the hydration. That's where the Drip Drop comes in.
So Drip Drop is doctor-developed, proven fast hydration. Because hydration isn't just something you do like when you're feeling that you're dehydrated. You should be hydrated all the time.
You know what we love more than hydration? Science. And Drip Drop uses science-based formulas for rapid hydration so you feel results fast, getting 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks.
Yeah, and they also have Zero Sugar Plus.
Yep.
So that's a breakthrough fast-absorbing formula with an advanced blend of 6 key electrolytes, 15 essential vitamins and nutrients, and no sugar or artificial sweeteners.
Can I tell you who else uses Drip Drop more, like even other than us?
Who?
90% of top college pro sports teams, whatever those are.
Oh, good for them.
Good for them at their rehearsals and their practices.
Yeah, good job, everybody. Yeah. I hope both teams have fun. So there are 16 original flavors and 8 zero sugar plus options. I'm very into the citrus thing when it comes to my hydration essentials.
Yeah. The lemon lime.
Lemon lime. Orange.
Yeah. The thing is, I will try any of them because any Drip Drop makes me want to drink water more. So I will just dump any packet in. But I do love the lemon lime.
And you can try them all because this is really like a daily routine thing.
Truly.
Not just a once in a while thing.
No. So fam, right now Drip Drop is offering our listeners 20% off your first order.
Go to dripdrop.com and use promo code TCO.
That's dripdrop.com, promo code TCO for 20% off.
Stock up now at dripdrop.com and use promo code TCO.
Do it.
Do it.
Oh, there's a bar in Hell's Kitchen Randy would love. Because we're getting that. Tell the people.
So Randy meets Jerry in 1996 at the local country western gay bar, and you are referencing Flaming Saddles.
Yes.
Where the bartenders dance on the bar.
They dance They're on the so bar sweet. In cowboy boots. It is the cutest, hottest
Sometimes they
thing.
Have they have hats. It is cash only, so just be aware.
It is cash only, and it stinks like vodka and drugs in there.
And beer, which is like, totally. Love that fucking smell. I love the smell of a dive bar. I'm saying it.
And that's like, what it is. It is 100% a dive bar.
Sometimes I'm like, I love the smell of cigarettes and beer. Like, oh, there's a part of me that's like such, I know.
Yeah.
There's something about it that just like reminds me of like,
well, it's my funny. Youth. There's a bar in the that used to be in the Meatpacking District on the corner of 10th and 17th called Red Rock West. It was a biker bar. I was a regular there. So all the bartenders were my friends. It was the bar that-
Coyote Ugly.
Yes, because Coyote Ugly wasn't really based on Coyote Ugly. It was really based on this bar.
And also Hogs and Heifers.
And Hogs and Heifers, right. And so they would get on that bar at midnight and they would do like they pour the water pitchers over themselves to that Melissa Etheridge song. Somebody bring me some water. Can't you see I'm burning alive?
It sounds exactly like that.
Can't you see my baby's got another lover?
There you go.
I don't know how I'm gonna survive.
Would you ever work at Flaming Saddles, like, for fun?
For sure.
It's a great spot.
It'd be hard to do now because I'd have to stay up so late.
Oh, God.
I was trying to get a bar. When I was a bartender, I wanted to work at a gay bar, but I was not hot enough. I wasn't, like, hot enough or, like, straight enough.
Come on.
I'm saying this with full, like, this is not like a...
You're not fishing.
Self-effacing moment. I was not hot enough. But, like, also a lot of the guys who work
says
at
who?
Gay bar, the guy who didn't hire me. Oh. My resume says so.
And where
so.
Are they now?
Who knows? They probably still work there.
Maybe.
Hot gay men don't get ever less hot.
No.
They just stay hot.
Anyway, Randy is at this country western gay bar, country and western.
When I came off the dance floor, he came over there and grabbed my shoulder and spun me around. He goes, I want to see who is this queen in the red Wonder Woman boots. That started our friendship.
I have to meet the queen in the red Wonder Woman boots. Jerry talking about Randy saying this.
So amazing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Jerry and Randy were best of friends, totally platonic. Mm-hmm. Jerry was always looking to like settle down with a partner. And so we learned that like Jerry's crushing it in the business world. He's not like, he's kind of striking out in the love zone as so many of us do.
And he also moves away from the tech world, which is what he thought he was going to do for business. But he dives into real estate and he's buying and flipping houses in 1996.
I mean, and apparently he like does killer business. Like he's crushing that market. So in 2000,
he's very smart. You can tell he has like a very like sharp business mind.
And that whole flipping houses thing is crazy because like you got to know how to get the cheap materials and like buy that and then make a profit. How do you do that?
I don't know anything about that.
Me either.
I can't even.
We should get an HGTV show like of us doing that and see how it goes.
I can't even begin to imagine.
No.
What it's like. It's also like, could I fall asleep to a show like that?
Uh huh.
Yeah, because it's like safe. There are no explosions. You know, it's not going to, like, wake me up.
Yeah.
Could I talk about a show? Could I be like, oh, that's not how... I don't know anything. Anything, I would fall for all of it. All of the magic where it's like, oh, what happened in one day? Like, no, it didn't.
Of course.
Or like, and it when they read, this is different than flipping, but I think when they give you, they redo your house.
Yeah.
Don't you, like, either have to pay for all the furniture or there's some catch, isn't there? Didn't something come out recently?
HGTV is like, it's too good to be true. Like, it's, all of those shows are such comfort shows for me.
Well, yeah. That's,
like, House Hunters and all of that.
Okay, okay.
But there's the one where it's like I can't remember what it's called, but it's I can't even think of the host names, but like they're either gonna love it or list it is what it's called.
Who's Chip and Joanna?
Chip and Joanna, I don't know. They are HGTV staples.
They're like OGs, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe they broke up and they live in Waco. I'm not really sure. This is as much as I know.
We're off the rails.
I know.
So for 10 years, Jerry is very, very successful. He's flipping dozens of properties.
Yeah.
So by 2006, he buys his own place 20 miles north of Atlanta.
And this is where he meets neighbor Pam. And she's like, he worked from home. He was always fixing up. Like, let the gays move into your neighborhood. They're going to up property values. We learned that Louisville doc.
Yeah, and watch that Will and Grace episode about it.
Literally. And so they were just the best of friends. Pam and Jerry. She loved him.
Yeah, so Jerry had a roommate.
Jerry posted ads and he had found someone to rent the room.
His name is Ross. Ross and Jerry hit it off as roommates and as friends.
Ross Byrne, he was also gay, and he answered a sign that Jerry put up about wanting a roommate.
Because Jerry lived in a split-level house. Do you have an opinion about split-level homes? I love them.
I'm completely indifferent.
What
do you mean? Like having a second floor?
No, so a split-level is you walk in, and there's a stairway that goes down and a stairway that goes up. And it's like two complete living spaces.
Well, they're like two camps about people who love these houses.
Some people hate split levels.
Why?
I don't know.
I got no opinion.
I know. I love the one time Steve and I thought about buying a house like 15 years ago in DC. We looked at a split level. I was super into it.
Yeah. Why do you love it?
Because it feels like when you walk into a regular house, you're kind of like in the entrance and like in a split level, you can kind of see everything. It feels like apartment living to me, kind of.
Sure.
And it feels like more like an open concept. And I don't know. I just love the idea of like the downstairs and the upstairs are like co-equal, habitable living spaces. Like,
so what's the problem for the haters?
I don't know. I think that people want like tradition. They want like a traditional home.
Okay, then buy one.
Our HGTV show is going to be amazing.
Like, no,
it's going to be really good.
I have no opinion on this. I want everyone to be happy.
But people really do have strong opinions about split levels.
Oh, God.
I know.
Cue the Facebook group.
Yeah.
So I want to hear like why you hate it so much. But Ross and Jerry quickly go into business together.
The bakery that Ross worked at, the owner needed to sell it. So Ross approached Jerry and he said, you know, would you consider investing in a bakery? Jerry was open to it. Jerry handled the money side of everything. And Ross was the baker and kept the operations going throughout the week.
Ross brings this to Jerry, knowing that Jerry has this business acumen. Like, do you want to buy in a bakery? And Jerry says yes.
And it goes great. Like, they're doing so well. I'm like, who doesn't love a gay bakery?
And they own a 50-50.
They own a 50-50. They shut it down for a little while so they can add a brand new cake decorating room. That is the gayest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And it shows that business is booming.
Yes.
Like, they're expanding, they're renovating. Like, everything's coming up bakery.
Cake decor. I'm like, Steve, can we get a cake decorating room?
I know. You need so much space.
Magical. Would that be?
Yeah. With that thing with that steady hand.
With a steady hand, and it always smells like cake in your house. Mm. I want a cake decorating room.
You can get candles that do that.
Oh.
That's not really my favorite scent in a home.
Yeah.
When I walk into a bakery, like there's very specific, like Italian bakeries have a very specific smell.
Yeah.
Carvel has a very specific smell.
Yes, totally.
But in 2013, after 7 years of being roommates, Ross decides to move out and get a place of his own, and he gets a townhouse that's close to the bakery.
And then like right soon thereafter, Jerry is found dead in his home.
Like a year later.
So we are back to Investigator Edward. This is his very first case as lead detective. And my note here is like, it's always got to be someday it's some doctor's first brain surgery.
It's always somebody's first day.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you're on a plane with a pilot who, not you, but sometimes people are on planes with pilots whose first day it is.
That's not their first day, like flying a commercial.
I don't know. I mean, they probably.
What, isn't that training?
Co-piloted.
My friend Greg, the pilot, who I became friends with because I cried about flying on the Hamilcast once when Mike and I went to Puerto Rico and it was horrible. And then he reached out and now we've become friends and he's been like my emotional support pilot because he answered all my questions and he's lovely. And he came to the Hamilcast rap party.
Stop
Greg,
it.
Greg, the pilot, like my hero.
As did Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes, true. I don't know who's like helped me more in my life. Greg, the pilot, or Lin-Manuel Miranda. No, they're both amazing people. But yeah, I might ask him now because he's so kind and patient with me and all of my questions.
But like, I'm assuming that like the brain surgeon is like, there's,
Do you work up to that?
You must, they're not just like, great job acing your exams. Here's a scalpel. Go get that tumor out of that guy's head.
Well, everything I know from the pit is that probably, hopefully Jack Abbott would be there as the attending, because you know the pit's a teaching hospital.
Of course I know.
I love Jack Abbott.
Okay. Anyway, it's Edward's first case as lead detective. The pressure is on. Edward gives us a little too much of like, I really want to solve it to prove to my bosses.
We all do.
But I'm like, can you solve it for also the justice of it?
Sure.
Not just to prove that your bosses like did the right thing, giving you the promotion.
Yeah, not about you, man.
Not about you, my friend. Girl, Chime is back. Can I tell you, I've said this 100 times, I wish to God younger me had had Chime.
I know, like no fees anymore.
I know.
Oh my God.
I got in so much financial trouble and that's where Chime comes in, fam. Chime is changing the way people bank. They are not like traditional old banks who charge fees and gatekeep perks and rewards.
Yeah, Chime offers the most rewarding fee-free banking, all with no overdraft fees, no monthly fees, no minimum balance fees. Those would get me.
So for me, it was the overdraft. The fact that you can get fee-free banking with no overdraft, I would overdraft from the overdraft. Uh-huh. I would go to bed with $100 in my bank account and wake up like -$250.
You're like, what happened?
Not with Chime, fam.
Also, you get 5% cash back on the Chime card in a category of your choice, like gas or groceries or whatever else.
And the other thing I really needed when I was younger, this helps you build your credit through regular everyday spending with no credit check.
There you
go. So important.
Love.
So fam, join the millions who are already banking fee-free with America's number one choice for banking.
Head to Chime.com/TCO.
That's Chime.com/TCO.
Sign up now. It only takes a few minutes.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Qualifying direct deposits required. Terms and limits apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
So the house was dusted for fingerprints. They took Jerry's cell phone, which they say is an important piece of evidence. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The cops immediately want to speak to Ross because they lived together for 7 years and they run a business together. Obviously, they want to talk to this guy.
They bring Ross downtown. This man couldn't care less.
And he doesn't bring a lawyer or ask for a lawyer or anything.
No, and like they're talking about his friend and business partner and roommate of 7 years. Ross doesn't shed a tear.
He is decidedly not beside himself. You'd think he'd be beside himself. He's absolutely not.
Now, look, you can tell me that after 7 years of like running a business together, maybe it wasn't like all sunshine and roses. And Sure. Maybe they weren't even friends anymore. Like, we're going to learn that their lives had sort of like they weren't as much friends anymore. They were kind of just running the business together. I can understand that if there's like bad blood between them, you don't have to cry if somebody that you used to like and now you don't like anymore is dead. But like have some emotion about
it. This is such a violent, gruesome attack that to feel no emotion is odd.
And also, it's like, he just moved out. You could have been there, girl.
Yeah. And he's also, though, immediately distancing himself from Jerry. He's trying to make it seem like they barely knew each other, Yes. Even though they lived together 7 years in their business. He's like, well, yeah, we lived together, but my room was over there and his was way over there. And I'm like, Ross?
Now, the one thing Edward
says— Don't
patronize me, Ross. Edward says—
When it comes to stabbings, I'll always look at somebody's hands. And I'm looking to see if there's any kind of injuries to show there was any kind of fight or struggle. I looked at his hands, and I didn't notice anything on his hands.
Ross does not have any.
That sounds like a Kenda move. We've heard him say it.
Well, my. So there's no defensive wounds on Ross. So far, like, they're just questioning him. Obviously, like, he's in the mix of people they could be considering.
Well, Ross is like, you know who you guys should be talking to? Definitely not me, but Randy, the queen with the Wonder Boots, Wonder Woman boots, and this guy named Wayne.
So we learn about this guy, Wayne. Wayne was broke, according to Ross, homeless, according to Ross, would crash on Jerry's couch and would, like, borrow his car.
Jerry was very, very, very nice to Wayne, is what Ross is trying to paint as a negative.
Yes.
Is really what's happened here.
Correct. So, like, Wayne is a guy who was, like, in the house all the time. Maybe he, like, knew Jerry's patterns, his coming and going. Like, this is a guy we got to talk to.
Yeah, and Ross is trying to paint him as this, like, scary, dangerous dude.
Yes. Yeah.
So the cops obviously want to speak to Wayne. They're trying to track him down using cell phone information. And
Jerry's phone was not password protected.
No.
I was like, girl.
Were we doing that in 2013? Probably. 2013 could be yesterday or in a past life.
I know. But like your phone should not be password protected. Like that's such a me move. You know, like I just never set up Face ID or whatever.
I guess now it's different. No, I don't have Face ID on.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I do. I now have Face ID for everything because I forget all my passwords.
You kind of, well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But like if you're, you know, in a place where maybe there's a lot of like unrest.
Oh, what do you mean?
Or something like if you might run into law enforcement.
Oh.
I would suggest turning it off because they can just put it up to your face.
That's true. And they do not have a constitutional right to go through your phone.
They don't.
By the way, you can say no. If they say unlock your phone, you can say no.
Right. So that's a vote to not use Face ID so that you can sort of keep that.
Or like take your glasses off because Lord knows when I'm at the beach and I'm trying to use my Face ID, it doesn't fucking work.
Doesn't work.
No.
So they track down Wayne, and his phone records show that he made a lot of calls to this woman named Michelle. So we hear audio of the cops talking to Michelle.
Michelle's a wreck.
Yes. I know Wayne, no. That's my friend. I met him when I used to work at Verizon. That's how me and him met. He was a greeter, and I worked at Verizon.
When's the last time you called
him? I speak to Wayne every freaking day just about on the phone. What the heck happened? What did he do?
What did he do?
Wayne was a greeter at Verizon. I love that. Like, I feel like I would be such a good greeter.
You would be.
And like the problem with being a greeter is like being a bartender. It's like the day that you're in a bad mood, like it's a really shitty day to go to work.
Know.
But I would be like, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, hi. How can I help you?
I'm already at 4 a.m. when I'm walking Golden. I'm saying good morning to people on the sidewalk. They don't want it.
Can we get like a counter?
I know.
How many times you say that?
That's the second time.
Second time.
But like, because in my neighborhood, I live like around a lot of bars and it's this where like, a lot of drunk people are going home.
Yeah.
And they do not want to be good morning by the happy gay guy with
sometimes
the little dog.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they want to keep the party going.
There are definitely days that I'm like, gays, get your acts together.
Keep it going.
I will take
Jace.
Out Golden at 4 a.m. and the
three.
The boy. There's also a bike rack, like a city bike rack, on my block. So if I'm walking Golden near it, they're drunkenly trying to unlock the bikes and get
unsafe.
Him up. I like
unsafe.
We just like they'll be leaning over trees, puking sometimes.
Okay. I was trying to be supportive.
I know.
Keep the party going. Yeah. But be safe about it, everybody.
Just like drink. Don't drink to excess all the time.
So Michelle is a wreck, and I feel bad. I love that she's at 100, but I also feel bad saying that because I'm not trying to make a joke because she's really very concerned. And she's like, I speak to Wayne every freaking day is what she said. And she's like, what happened? What did he do? But she's also like, you know what? We do talk every freaking day, but I actually haven't spoken to him in 48 hours. Like something must be wrong.
Something's wrong. And Wayne has been like really stressed out lately. His family isn't helping him with all of like the shenanigans that he's going through in his life. He's always crashing with friends. Like Wayne is in like kind of a desperate place. So and hasn't talked to his bestie in 48 hours.
Yeah. And Michelle says kind of with a chuckle, like, he does not handle stress well. She goes, he's like a basket case. And the cops are like, when you say basket case.
Right. Like a basket case with a knife? Like, tell me more.
What do you mean exactly?
And she like literally offers to call him right now.
Yeah. And she's like trying to help. She's very, very concerned about her friend.
Yeah.
Which is like a lovely quality.
So they leave it to Michelle. He doesn't answer when she calls. Michelle's going to try to get in touch with him and like stay in touch with the cops. The police have to notify Jerry's family. Everyone is a fucking mess. Jerry's mom calls Randy to tell Randy, Jerry's best friend, that Randy was killed in a home invasion.
And so Randy, the Wonder Woman queen, with love I say, thinks that maybe Jerry was targeted and killed by a bigot who hated gay people.
When Jerry said, well, I'm going to be placing ads for a roommate again, I really felt like it's possible that some random person without intentions of renting a place didn't like gay people and was going to answer the ad and do harm to them.
I was afraid that maybe somebody who responded to the roommate posting might have killed him. But the cop says Randy was afraid that Jerry might have brought the wrong person home.
Oh, yeah, fair
and
enough.
It's very interesting to me that they are trying very hard not to slut shame Jerry, which is great.
Yeah.
And appropriate and true. Because like we know that Jerry was looking for love. But it did worry me at this point because I'm like, it did seem like Jerry was meeting a lot of men in various ways, which I am supportive of, and like go out and find your people. And
again, just do it safely.
Just do it safely. But if he is inviting strangers into his home, it does make you vulnerable. It's the Grindr of it all.
Like
Grindr is wonderful. I'm glad that it exists for anybody who wants to use it. It can be unsafe to invite strangers into your house or to be going into strangers' homes.
You know what else is too? Like Ubers and Lyfts.
Yes. Yeah.
It used to be don't get into a car with somebody you don't know, and now it's all we do.
And now we call the stranger to our house to get
into
their car.
It's crazy. So anyway, they ask Randy, the friend, about this guy, Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Michelle and whatever. Randy has nothing but good things
to
say
like,
about Wayne.
He's like, absolutely. Now, who told you that shitbag Ross?
Yeah, and he was like, Jerry was super nice. Wayne was very grateful for Jerry's kindness because his family sucked, and he just had, like, he loved his chosen family and his friends, and Jerry was one of them. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
So both of Wayne's friends totally vouch for Wayne. And the only person who's talking shit about Wayne is Ross.
Right. So 36 hours later, the autopsy comes in. There's no foreign DNA on Jerry's body, but they're talking about like the savagery of this crime.
32 times he was stabbed. That amount of stab wounds. You know, somebody really had some hatred for him and really wanted to make sure he was dead.
Somebody really fucking hated this guy.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to make sure he was dead and wanted to make sure he suffered. And it's like, he doesn't have any enemies.
I know.
This is like the nicest cowboy line dancing gay guy you're ever going to meet.
Well, as of this minute.
Yeah.
So 3 days later, Wayne's friend Michelle tracks him down. And she's like, girl, like, what happened? The cops are looking for you. And Wayne's like, I have to go to them immediately and see what's going on. Oh, my God, my dear friend Jerry, I am rooting for Wayne.
Me too.
So hard.
And we hear audio of the interview. And the cops even now are like, Wayne was really fidgety. They're like yelling at him. They're being like
Not
really
nice.
Mean to him. No. Because I think they think this is the guy. Like, he's a guy that's in desperate circumstances, doesn't have a place to live.
Yeah.
Anything could have happened.
But in reality, who wouldn't be a nervous wreck when he's in these not great circumstances? He doesn't have a lot of support, but he also does have a lot of support.
Yeah,
and one of his dear friends who showed him a lot of kindness was viciously murdered. I'd be pretty fidgety too, guys.
Totally.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. And
at least someone's showing emotion, unlike Ross.
Right. He's like the first one minus Randy. So they ask Wayne about Sunday because Sunday was the day that Jerry was killed. He's with his friend Tibber. They go out to dinner. Gets home around 11:30. Wayne gives them Tibber's number. And this is where we learn from Wayne that the last person that Jerry spoke to was an inmate in Kentucky named Chris. Girl, Home Chef is back. Last night we had chicken pesto quesadillas.
Is it the one that you cooked? Is it the one that you put in the oven or the one that you put in the micro?
So this is the one that Steve cooked. We're having like a roasted chicken thing when I get home that I'm going to like take out of the package, put it in the tin that it comes in, yeah, and put it in the oven, and then I have cooked.
Okay, so people really love this. Yeah. And Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease. We're talking about options.
Yes. And they've got so many different options. Home Chef has over 30 meal options each week, with choices for different tastes and dietary needs, including calorie conscious and even GLP-1 friendly meals, which I eat.
And also, like, it's just convenient. You don't have to worry about meal prep, figuring out what you're eating, what and when. You just go online, you pick your little meals, and you figure it out.
And not to be like a joker, like, if you're the one in your family that doesn't cook and the other one does, I'm the one that doesn't cook, and I really feel, and it takes a night off of Steve's plate when I can use one of the oven-ready meals. I live by these oven-ready meals. If you are the non-cooker, you are cooking, but you're not really cooking, but you're making dinner for your family and saving that other person all the time.
Yeah, it's a nice little first step into cooking.
I really believe that.
Yeah, me too. That's why I said it.
So fam, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping on your first box, plus free dessert for life. Go to homechef.com/TCO.
That's homechef.com/TCO for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life.
Homechef.com/TCO.
Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert, okay?
And don't be a dirtbag. Help the person in your house that does most of the cooking. Girl, tis the season to get candles. Quince is back.
Tis the season to love Quince all the time. Honestly, I have the accessories. I have the bag. I have the jogger little set. I have about a million candles from them.
I've got the jeans. I'm obsessed.
Me too. I have the jeans too.
Quince makes elevated everyday essentials using premium materials like Mongolian cashmere, organic cotton, and washable silk. These designs are timeless, thoughtfully crafted, and they are made to be worn again and again. I've had my Quince jeans for like a couple years now.
They are so soft.
They're so good.
I love them so much. But here's the thing. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they tell you, like they tell you on the website, they have like $80 crossed out.
And then
the Quince price, it's the best.
And it's not just clothes and candles, though we love those the most. Mm-hmm. They also do bath to kitchen essentials to thoughtfully designed furniture. You can get your furniture from Quince.
And it's all just really classy and durable. It's good quality.
I told you about the lady.
Feel fancy.
This lady showed up at one of my shows with a sign that said, thanks, it's Quince. Because she was getting complimented too
much. It's the new thanks, it has pockets. Thanks, it's Quince.
So fam, find fall pieces you'll reach for most at Quince.
Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/TCO.
Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
Now available in Canada and the UK too.
That's quince.com/TCO. Don't forget the candles.
Don't. They smell so good.
And the couch. Now we learn that Jerry was like pen pals with a lot of male prison inmates. Mm-hmm. Like Jerry was really putting himself out there.
Yeah, which like on one hand is a very kind, compassionate thing
sure.
to do.
Yeah.
But when there is a vicious murder, it makes sense to maybe think, okay, wait a minute.
Right.
Let's look into who he was speaking to.
Well, this guy, Chris.
Wayne said this Chris guy was supposed to be getting out of prison in September of 2013, which was just 3 months before the murder. And I said, why are you so concerned? And he said, because he talked about that when Chris was going to get out, Chris was supposed to come visit Jerry.
This guy, Chris, had gotten out of prison 3 months before for some violent crime, we're told. We're not told what it was.
Yeah.
And the plan was that this guy, Chris, was going to come and stay with Jerry.
And Wayne never liked this. He was always concerned for Jerry. I guess he knew what Chris had done that we're not told.
Yeah.
So Wayne was like, I was always really, really concerned about this. So eventually, hooray, Wayne is cleared. Everything
yes.
checks out. Obviously, he's a nervous wreck because he misses his friend and he's traumatized.
But now Chris is the main suspect. And I'm like, okay, sorry, am I allowed to ask this? Like, Jerry, were you looking for love in, like, prison, like pen pal websites?
That I don't know.
I don't know either. And I just want Jerry to have a boyfriend because he seems so nice and he's so successful.
I know.
He's supposed to... Just flip houses.
Just like go to the bar with Randy and like find someone.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't really get into this, but it's not unreasonable for the cops to be like, oh, someone who was convicted of a violent crime and then was released a few months before this vicious murder.
And was supposed to come and stay with him. They tracked this Chris guy down. He's living in Kentucky. The investigators call the sheriffs in Kentucky. They know this Chris guy. And they're like, he lives with his parents. He's got a girlfriend. And then we learn that since Chris got out of prison, there was no contact with Jerry. So Chris is not the guy either.
Yeah, so they lose interest in him. And now there's like no real movement on the case. By February 13th, 2014, Jerry's friends have a memorial for Jerry. Wayne spoke.
I know.
Guess who didn't show up?
Both Randy and Pam brought it to my attention that Ross Byrne never showed up. That started raising a little bit of suspicion. Like, here's this guy that lived with him for 7 years, owns a business with him, and yet he doesn't show up to his memorial service.
Ross, this motherfucker, didn't show up.
Roommate of 7 years and still current business partner.
I know.
Didn't show up. And I'm like, okay, well, what the hell is that about?
The only thing I could think in this moment was giving him the benefit of the doubt. If, like, the business relationship had really soured and gone really bad and they fucking hated each other, like, maybe.
But I don't care.
No, I know. Even still, look, I can think of a handful of people whose memorial services I'm not fucking showing
I have
to.
A list of people that I'm not going to.
Also, we got into that Shannon Doherty do not admit list to the funerals. I need to make sure you have
like
that.
My grandfather that had the written note,
yes.
You are not welcome here in Italian.
I want to know who was on Shoto's list. I'm kind of dying to know.
Yeah. I'm not going. And I don't, some people are not welcome here. That's my grandfather's Sicilian coming out. However,
I love it.
I don't, this is a vicious, vicious murder.
Yeah.
And if you really had nothing to do with it, you put your shit aside because what happened, you did live with him for 7 years. There was something there once.
Yes.
You go as you a go. Decent human being, you piece of shit.
The thing about this guy, Ross, is that whether he did this or not, he seems like the fucking worst.
He's a nightmare.
Everything we learn about this guy, I'm like, he seems like a miserable curmudgeon of an old gay guy.
Well, guess what? Jerry, I think, agreed because he wanted out of this business.
Yes.
And his relationship with Ross was not good at all. And now it's starting to come out, but Ross didn't tell the cops any of this.
Yeah.
But everyone else told the cops this.
That's the thing, because like Ross had sat down with the police, never mentioned that Jerry wanted out of the business. He mentioned that like they weren't really friends anymore.
Right.
But like Ross is keeping secrets.
Well, Randy with the boots is describing the relationship to the cops as dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Like Randy's telling the truth. It wasn't just that they sort of fell out of whatever dynamic they had. It was a very negative dynamic.
And things were bad at work. It was bad at home. Like, they're still living together. What a miserable existence that would have been.
And so Jerry wants Ross to buy him out to the tune of $35,000, and Ross is downright refusing.
Which, like, doesn't seem like that much money for a fancy gay bakery with a whole cake decorating room, Ross.
Like, one of them is good with money, and it ain't Ross.
Right, totally.
But there's more. Randy the Dancing Queen was the executor of Jerry's estate.
Yes.
So he got to see Jerry's will and his business contract with Ross. Did you see the name of the LLC?
No.
Operating Agreement of Best Dang Bakery Around LLC.
Stop it!
You know that was Jerry's idea.
But we learn in this operating agreement, it says,
one of the provisions said if either party is deceased, that the surviving party will gain full and free control of the bakery.
Maybe Ross sees this as his way of getting Jerry out of the picture.
The other partner will gain full and free control of the bakery. That's a bullshit thing to have in an operating
room. But there it is.
So, like, Ross, if you die, you don't want your family to get your, like, I don't know. It just seems crazy.
Well, if one of the two partners dies, the other partner gets it 100%.
Yeah.
And then they can do with it whatever they want. And I'm like, oh, there it is.
Well, right. And Randy even says, when I read that, it was a gut punch. It felt like Jerry signed his death warrant when he signed that piece of
and
paper.
And he effectively did. But you don't think about that going in 7 years from now.
Well, no one ever thinks they're going to get murdered. You know what I mean? So, Detective Phil says to us, money, love, power, revenge. In almost every homicide, you can toss one of those at it, and now we have money.
Well, I would also throw power and a little revenge in there as well.
It's not just
money.
Yeah, yeah.
So the cops speak to Ross again, lawyerless, and they confront him on these business issues. They know that Jerry wanted out. They know that Ross refused to buy Jerry out, and they know that their relationship was, quote, dysfunctional.
Right.
His response is bizarre at best.
It's absolutely fucking bizarre. So they're going through the weekend again. Did you do anything Saturday night? No, I don't go out, he says. I was like, you are the worst.
Yeah.
Like, you have no friends. Everybody hates you. You're the grumpiest old gay guy on the block.
Yeah. They're quickly yelling at each other. He's like, I don't know. I guess so. I don't know. And so on Sunday, he has a housewarming party for his new place. Everyone was out of there by 6 p.m.
Yes.
And I'm like, to quote Mark Ruffalo as Dave Toski and myself, sounds like a terrible party.
Sounds like a terrible fucking party.
But Ross's phone records tell a different story, and they always do.
Yeah. So Ross has been calling one number all weekend. And the cops are like, who is this? And he's pretending not to know who it is.
I have no idea, he says.
No idea.
So the cops have had it, and so have I. They're like, Ross, I'm not doing this with you. And I'm like, how is he going to pretend he doesn't know who this person is when he is calling them 10,000 times?
And the call started on Saturday morning, went all the way into the evening, and then again into Sunday.
And he's getting being snippy like he's a petulant teenager. He's like, maybe it was someone I had over. I said, And then he starts laughing, which for me is the absolute last straw.
When you're laughing in a murder investigation, whether you did it or not, like you're just an evil monster.
Or if you're Michael Jackson laughing and having to cover your face with a folder saying you don't know who Jordy is.
Oh my God.
Evil.
Evil.
So Ross gives them a name, John Wheeler.
John is straight and he doesn't want people to think that John's gay, but he was pursuing John, hoping that he could develop a relationship with John.
Ross admits he's pursuing straight, no homo John anyway.
It's very, when we learn about this relationship, like, we learn that right after the murder, Ross and John are on an all-expenses-paid-by-Ross trip to Key West.
Talk about a gay mecca of the East.
Gay mecca of the East. And but then John is posting on his Facebook page, like, shirtless pictures by the pool.
Yeah.
Him and Ross, like, drinking cocktails.
Right. Celebrating.
His friend was just murdered.
They're celebrating.
Yeah.
But more than that, Ross was giving allegedly straight Jonathan a ton of money.
Look, it just makes me wonder what John was doing for the money.
Is that not very clear?
I mean, this is one of those relationships that just makes me tired, exhausted, and sad for everybody.
Yeah, John is not straight. He's not 100% straight. There's
no way. I think that there's a, like, we're going to learn that John has, like, a criminal past. It's hard for him to, like, keep a job. I think he's, like, doing sexual things with Ross for money.
No question.
Yeah.
Right?
We also learned that John did a 10-year prison term for armed robbery of a Taco Bell.
With a knife.
Get Taco Bell out of your mouth. Like, get it in your mouth, but get it out of your mouth.
With a knife. Who robs a Taco Bell with a
with
knife?
With a knife.
But the important thing about the knife is that the knife was the murder weapon in Jerry's murder.
Okay, well, we have a stabbing murder. Ross has been hiding this guy. This guy's done hard time. It's a violent background, and his weapon of choice is a knife.
And his weapon of choice is a knife.
So the cops bring no homo Jonathan in for an interview without a lawyer. It looks like he's drinking a tall boy. He's not.
It's a Monster energy drink.
But it looks like a big Bud Light or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jonathan says that he and Ross are just very, very, very good friends.
And he says, Ross is a very kind-hearted person to me. Like, Ross is 100% this guy's meal ticket.
Yeah, we have, like, a sugar daddy situation, like a sexual, like, this is all a transaction.
But he's, like, swearing up and down that he's not gay because he tells us that Ross gave him a job at the bakery, but I'm not cut out for bakery, so he fired me.
Uh-huh.
Then we learn that Ross gave him money to start a construction business.
Mm-hmm. Like, personally financing this guy's brand new construction business that doesn't exist yet.
I'm like, if you can't wake up in the morning to bake cakes, how are you going out to build fucking houses?
But doesn't this also mean that John knew Jerry if he was in the bakery at all?
Well, he says that John didn't like Jerry because according to John, Jerry hit on him when he started working there. That is an absolute fucking lie.
And it's also what Ross just said about himself. Ross said, well, John is quote straight, but I'm hitting on him anyway.
Yes.
Now we have John saying Jerry did that. Like, that's doesn't make any sense.
What I hate about this too is that, like, the cops just believe John and they're like, well, now we've got motive. It's the whole gay panic thing John that makes me fucking crazy.
Yes, and John is completely full of shit.
And Jerry's not that guy. Jerry is never going to be... Jerry is looking for love in prisons. He's looking for love at the bars. He's looking for love on Craigslist. He's not going to be hitting on the straight fucking low-life bakery worker.
And John, you're not 100% straight, which is fine.
Yeah.
But let's not act like you and Ross are just good friends, shirtless in the pool in Key West.
Uh-huh.
Give me a fucking break. Doing body shots
off of each other.
Give me a break. Who suddenly this guy is financing your non-existent business. Please. Don't patronize me.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. Can I tell you, I'm a little bit of a dummy. And my favorite thing about Rocket Money is that it tracks your subscriptions and it helps you to cancel them within one click in the app. And if I didn't have Rocket Money, I'd be paying for magazine subscriptions from like 2012.
Yeah, who needs it? Like, this is all about giving you a super easy way to stop paying for things you don't use in this economy.
Yes.
Hello?
So the app consolidates checking, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard. I'm only going to look at my banking for 3 minutes. I'm not going to like toggle between like tabs or whatever. The fact that it puts it all in one place, not only is it convenient, but it makes you really confront your finances.
Well, it's like a safe space.
Yes, exactly.
For you to look at your budgets and your goals, and they give you personal insights. They can tell you what you've been spending this on, what you've been spending that on.
I also love that if they see like a suspicious transaction, you get a quick email or a text or whatever. Yeah. I always am like, yeah, that was actually me.
Yes, sorry.
I did spend that much money on Domino's. Ooh. Thanks, Rocket Money.
I had Domino's last week when we recorded.
Oh.
I went home and ordered it.
Well, fam, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings and get more Domino's.
And get more Domino's always. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
Rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
So then they start talking about the weekend. Remember, we're trying to get everybody's timeline for the weekend. And this guy, John, has absolutely no fucking memory. And the reason he says he has no memory is because he did 10 years. And when you're in prison, your memory goes to shit.
Which, okay, don't now weaponize a very true thing.
We're talking about a weekend like 2 weekends ago.
Right.
We're not talking, no one's asking you to remember your 8th birthday.
No.
You know?
No. So the cops don't have enough to keep him. They have to let him go. But they dive into allegedly straight John's cell phone records, specifically the GPS.
Cell phone records for that number that John was using showed him at the cookout around 5 o'clock or so on that Sunday. Then it showed the phone going all the way down to Jerry's house. Almost an hour later, it showed the phone going back up to Ross's house.
So it turns out that John absolutely was at Ross's housewarming party, which nobody has told the police. Straight John and Ross also hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, was Jerry, I guess, not invited to the party, right?
It must have been that.
I guess
oh,
not.
Oh, shit. I didn't even put that together.
Because they hate each other, which is fine. Like,
well, and not only that, they need Jerry to be home.
They need Jerry to be home. So, and have a lot of people say, well, we were at the party.
Yes, yes.
Even though it ended at 6 o'clock.
I know.
So the other thing they learn is that same night of the party that ended at 6, at 7:51, John's phone pinged at Jerry's house.
The thing that I had to remind myself, this was 2014. This was not 2002. Like, people understand how cell phone data works.
Yes.
These people are so fucking stupid.
So stupid.
So, like, his cell phone puts him at John's cookout till 5 o'clock. Then at 7:51, it's at Jerry's house. And then right after that, right back at Ross's house.
At like 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock.
So cops haul not that straight Jonathan in for interview number 2. Still no lawyer.
I love that we are convinced he's not straight.
Girl.
I know.
Unless I'm like totally off my game and rocker.
I'm not even claiming a sexuality. I just think he's doing gay stuff for money.
Right. Which I get, which means that in some realm, you're not 100% straight.
Yeah.
Is that, am I crazy?
No. You're not.
Is the woke mob going to come for me? Like, what did I say wrong about that?
No. There's nothing wrong with it. I just was like, I was never, as the gay man in the room, didn't feel like it was my place to acknowledge what is obviously going on here.
This isn't a situation where he was groomed for years and forced to do this. This is a guy who sees someone with a bankroll because he just killed his business partner and has 100% of the business and a double income and wants some money, so he decides he'll be gay for pay.
Yeah. Have we ever said gay for pay on this podcast before?
I'm sure many times.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, anyway.
John's running for a second interview, still doesn't remember anything, but then they drop the cell phone data at his feet.
He's don't lie, man. They hit you with a tower, that's where you are.
There's no way I'm by his house.
You could say no way, but man, your cell phone put you there. The reason I'm asking is why you're here, because Jerry's killed this night, man.
The cops are like, you were at Jerry's. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. No, I wasn't. The cell phone records don't lie. Yes, they do. It's like, bitch, we got you.
We got you.
We got you.
He's getting very agitated. But when they finally just outright accuse him of killing Jerry, that's when he realizes he needs a lawyer.
Yes.
So on his way out, he's like, and if you really think I did it, I'm going to laugh in your face. The cops are like, ha, ha, ha.
Uh-huh.
Tell your story, walk in. We already know that you did this.
We know you did it. They bring Ross back in. They really think they're going to get Ross to flip on John.
Interview number 3 without a lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
Interview number 3, and Ross is holding firm that it's like, girl, if they keep calling you in, they have something.
Let me ask you a question. When you call a lawyer, are they going to ask you if you did it? Like, if you did the murder.
Yes.
And you call a lawyer. Do you have to admit to the lawyer that you did the murder?
I think it's specific to the lawyer, because I've heard some lawyers say, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care whether you did it or not. And I've heard some lawyers say, I need to know all the facts, and the point is how I can defend you.
Yes.
So I think it is a very personal preference.
Because I just wonder if that's why Ross isn't calling a lawyer. Like, if he's afraid that he's got to just admit to it now.
No, that can't be. I mean,
because, like,
how
dumb do you have to fucking be? Because, like, everyone's screaming at each other in this room, but they break Ross down to a point where they think they got him. And we're watching the video. I'm like, oh my God, he's about to, like, admit it.
No, he completely shuts down.
Yeah.
They do every trick in the book, and he just completely shuts down. And now months are going by.
And Ross is, like, thrilled with his new double income. The guy buys himself a fucking Cadillac Escalade.
He's spending money like water. So 8 months later, a lead falls into their laps out of the clear blue sky.
Unbelievable.
This guy, Michael Thomason, comes to them with information. Does he ever?
Michael Thomason is John,
Not straight John.
Not straight John's half-brother. And Michael says that
one day he came over drunk, just wasted off his ass.
Like recently or?
A few weeks ago.
Okay.
And started telling me, I don't even remember doing it, but I stabbed this guy. He had stabbed the hell out of him.
I don't even remember doing it, but I like stabbed a guy to death.
Full on confession.
He also admits to the roommate, Cynthia.
Yeah. So now the brother and the roommate are like, he just confessed to murder. Are you kidding? But he also confesses to details. And he brings Ross into it, which we all knew.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, we've been lying the entire time, girl. Like, but here's how we did it.
And Cynthia tells the cops, what he told her was, after the killing, he went to Ross's house. Ross cleans him off. I bet you did, Ross.
I mean,
gave him a clean shirt and pants. I guess what I'm unclear about here is, like, did Ross put him up to this? Or did John just do this on his own and go to Ross's for help?
I think Ross dangled some money and some margaritas and a couple trips to Key West in his face.
Yeah.
And, you know, what won't he do for money?
Right. Oh,
I think
God,
is kind
right.
of this, I think is where we are, really. I mean, he's a violent criminal, we learned.
Well, Cynthia agrees to cooperate and they arrest John Wheeler.
Yeah.
He won't do any more interviews with the cops at this point. And he never gives up Ross.
Never. So 4 years later, Jonathan's on trial.
Why did it take 4 fucking years to get this thing to trial?
And they're not charging Ross in this time.
I know.
Ross is just like out in the world getting away with murder. So at Jonathan's trial 4 years later, Cynthia, the roommate, testifies. Michael, the half-brother, testifies. Ross didn't.
Right.
Ross didn't say a word. They lied for each other until the very end.
That is impossible to do. Like, to keep—
It's hard.
People from flipping on each other is wild.
But it also kind of shows that, like, Ross doesn't give a fuck about this person.
Right.
He's not going to vouch for him. He's not going to say anything.
No.
He's taking his money.
And John is convicted, gets 2 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. They finally, they're like, you know what? We don't have the strongest case against Ross, but we're going to get him on conspiracy.
But the jury, after Jonathan's trial, the jury is like, they're like desperate.
I know.
Begging the lawyers to know, like, what's the tea with Ross? Are we going to get Ross?
I know.
And I'm like, are jurors allowed to do this?
In 10 years, we've never heard this before.
They make a point to say, even the jurors knew that something was up.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to Old Faithful following the money.
So they arrest Ross. They put him in prison awaiting trial.
This is 2018 now.
2018. I've never heard of this.
We decided to spread a rumor inside the prison that Jonathan Wheeler is planning to flip on Ross and implicate him in Jerry's murder.
And Ross got nervous.
Ross Byrne actually solicited another inmate to have Jonathan Wheeler killed.
Ross solicits another inmate to kill John in prison.
Ross only has one way to solve conflict.
Unbelievable.
And it's murder. And Ross tries to hire this other inmate to kill John Wheeler. The point is that this worked.
Yeah.
The cops planted this rumor. They walked right into it.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And so Ross is proving everybody right,
yes,
is what's happening. Like,
yep,
now he has 2 charges of conspiracy to commit murder, and he pleads guilty, and that's what they get him on.
Yeah.
So if they can't get him on Jerry, they like kind of entrap him, but not really.
And he takes a plea deal because he was facing life in prison. So he takes a plea deal and gets 20 years.
Yeah.
Which I was like, after, I will never understand why it took four years to get John's case to trial. But bada bing, bada boom, we got them both.
And it's just so crazy because Jerry was such a good guy. And I bet if Ross worked with him a little bit on the business, we could have had a much better outcome.
I just wonder, like, I wonder how that relationship went bad. Like, what was going on? Like, did Jerry feel like he was doing everything and Ross was doing nothing? And, you know?
Like, but we couldn't go through mediation. We couldn't be adults in the room. Ross is just, like, downright refusing.
There are some people who don't want to solve problems in business. And then, no. Those avenues, though explored, cannot actually lead to resolution.
I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
Oh, I know.
That's not any way to live.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Right?
Absolutely, I agree with you,
just
girl.
Saying. Well, Jerry was a great guy, and I, like, Ross just fucking ruined it. He could have had a conversation.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And I'm glad that Wayne was exonerated. I was really rooting for Wayne.
I know.
And his best friend, Michelle.
Oh my God, girl, we did Killer Relationships, Risky Business.
Yeah, season 4, ep 2, if you're looking for it.
Oh my God, I love, the gays never live in these things. You know what I mean?
Sometimes they do.
I understand.
I mean, Randy, the dancing queen, did.
Randy did. We don't know what
Poor
Wayne
Randy.
Still is. I know. Randy is still out there living his life in Marietta. Good for you, Randy.
Yeah.
Sending you love and
One of the girl. Many gay meccas of the world.
One of the very many gay meccas. All right, fam, we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
gay.